If you want revival, go into your prayer closet, take a piece of chalk, draw a circle around yourself, and pray until revival comes to that circle, to the person in the circle, to you. It's great to pray, God, bring revival to everyone else, but we need to pray for our own revival, amen? Revival means when dead things come to life. We need to be revived. I love what William Booth said. He said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. How good is that? He just decided he was going to make stuff happen for the kingdom. William Booth, if you don't know, is the founder of the Salvation Army. He's got a massive legacy of Salvation Army soldiers who are serving the poor, preaching the gospel all over the world. And he had three main things that was his focus: soup, soap, and salvation. He wanted to feed soup for the physical, clean them up, give them a bit of soap, and bring salvation. Sadly, a lot of ministries started out with soup, soap, and salvation. Now they just do the soup and the soap and they forget the salvation. And if you know, we shouldn't get mission drift and lose our drift. We need the salvation, amen? But that's what William Booth, he saw the poor, the broken, the lost, the addicted. And he said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. He went and made stuff happen. He revived himself. And out of his own personal revival, the Salvation Army revival spread across the world now. I remember up in the highlands of Papua New Guinea recently, I was up there preaching up there, and I met a Salvation Army officer who's friends with Bill Hunter, our buddy at God's Sports Arena here. And the Salvos are up in PNG doing all this amazing work. You know, in the jungles, in the middle of nowhere, the Salvation Army are doing work. All because one man, William Booth, decided to stand up for soup, soap, and salvation. He said, I'm not waiting for a move of God. I am a move of God. He made stuff happen, and look at the legacy that his life has left behind. When you revive yourself, you'll make a difference in the world. Amen? You revive yourself for a purpose. You know, recently, my first aid training was due. So just before Christmas, I had to go and get my training done, and I had to get refreshed on how to do CPR and all this kind of stuff. I thought, Barry, you can come over and help me over here for a minute. Give Barry a hand, everyone. Fantastic, Barry. Now, Barry, could you just kind of collapse on the ground? Yeah, oh, that's good. Good acting. Give me a hand. That's fantastic, you know. So this is what they teach you when someone's dead or someone's, you know, unconscious. You go up and you use the acronym COWS, C-O-W-S. And I believe we need to apply this spiritually to us. So you go up and firstly, you assess to see if there's any danger around anywhere. You know, you don't want to get electrocuted or attacked by someone or fall through something, you know. Because if you have, get attacked or, you're no good to anyone, are you? So the first thing you've got to assess that there's no danger, you know. Make sure that's good. They say it's just like on an airplane. When the oxygen mask comes down, put it on yourself first before you put it on anyone else. Because if you pass out, you're no good to help anyone else, are you? And this is the spiritual principle we need to apply. When you've got to think, how can I revive myself? How can I protect myself so that I can help others? Unfortunately, a lot of people in ministry these days, they're only ministering to help others, but they're not helping themselves. That's why we need God's word every day, to feed ourselves on God's word. We need to grow in the spirit, pray in the spirit every day so that we're healthy, so that we can help others. Okay, so COWS, C-O-W-S. So firstly, you say, can you hear me? And if they don't answer, that's a bad sign. I'm just telling you. If they wake up and go, yes, I can hear you, you're like, hallelujah. It's all... But you say, can you hear me? And I want to challenge you today. Jesus is standing over us, the lukewarm, half-hearted, dead church around the world, saying, can you hear me? How many of you know God is speaking to us 24/7, 365, and we need to listen to what he has to say. We need our ears unblocked to hear the voice of God. The Bible says that there is a voice inside saying, don't go to the left or to the right. This is the way, walk in it. God is speaking to us today. Can you hear him? That's my question I'm asking you today. So the first one is C, can you hear me? He hasn't moved, so that's... Okay, the second one is O, open your eyes. They're still closed. That's not a good sign. Open your eyes. You know, as I was praying this morning in my office getting ready for this, the Lord gave me that verse in 2 Kings 6:16. Elisha answered, "Do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." This is the story that Israel shared on the stage before about Elisha, and all the physical soldiers were there, and then God opened their spiritual eyes and they saw the chariots and the horses of the angels, the angelic army. How many of you know God needs to open our spiritual eyes? So in my office this morning, the Lord said, you've got to share that about the open your eyes bit. And then Charlie had the same word in the prayer room this morning, that God's going to open our spiritual eyes. And then Israel shared it this morning, that God's going to open our spiritual eyes. How many of you know God's speaking to us today? We need to open our spiritual eyes. We need to realize that there are demons and that there are angels. But those that are for us are way more than those that are against us. Amen? No matter what battle you're going through, God plus you is a majority. Amen? When you've got God on your side, you've got nothing to fear. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. Amen? When the enemy comes against us, God is greater than the enemy. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Amen? We've got to remember to dress ourselves in the armor of God and take up the sword of the Spirit and stand firm when the enemy comes. Can you see what God is doing? Can you hear what God is saying to us? Open your eyes. And the next one is W, what's your name? So you need to ask, what's your name? And if they don't say anything, that's a bad sign as well. But I want to challenge you about that. A lot of people think they're only that their name is what the world has told them who they are. You're useless, you're no good, you're lazy, you got no gifting, you'll never be successful. Oh, you're just one of those crazy Christians, you know. A lot of people believe their name is what other people have told them who they are. But how many of you know God calls you by your true name? My name is Matthew, which means gift from God, and Prater, which means to talk a lot. I claim that in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Carol means song of joy, and she is, isn't she? Amen? You look in the Bible, Simon became Peter, Abram and Sarai became Abraham and Sarai, Saul became Paul. God is the one that changes names from what the world called you and to what God calls you, amen? You've got to know your true identity in Christ. When you know who you are in Christ, it doesn't matter what the world tells you who you are. You're a child of the King, amen? You've got an inheritance in heaven. All the resources of heaven are available to us because our daddy in heaven loves us and he's got an inheritance. Isn't that good news? You change your identity when you realize that God calls you by name. What's your name? He's a child of God. That's who he is, if he was awake, but it's not working too good so far. And what's the last one, honey? S, squeeze my hand. So you got to go around and you've got to squeeze this hand. And they could have had a stroke and it could have been on that side. So you've got to squeeze the other hand as well. You squeeze it, you know, squeeze the hand. And if they squeeze it back, that's a good sign. If they don't, they're still dead or unconscious. That's not a good sign. And I thought, squeeze the hand. How can I put that in my sermon, Lord? And I just felt the Lord say, put your hand in the hand from the man from Galilee. Amen? Jesus said he'll never leave us or forsake us. No matter how dead we look, he'll never give up on us. He is an ever-present help in time of trouble. Amen? Our good Father loves us and he wants to revive us. So after you do those four things, the COWS, then you start the CPR. And you press on the heart, you know, and God takes out a heart of stone and puts in a heart of flesh, doesn't he? Amen. So I'm not going to do the CPR. Just stay there, Barry, just for a moment. He's loving this today. He's like, this is the most relaxing sermon I've heard in a long time. But how many of you know God can resurrect anything? No matter how dead you are, no matter how many sins you've committed, no matter how bad the circumstances look, God can resurrect you today. And you know, they say that it's okay to do CPR. You do the 30 pushes and the 2 breaths and then 30 pushes and, you know, you do all that, you know. But it's even better to have a defibrillator. You attach it on, you say, clear, you know, and then it gives them a start. And it starts the heart. Much better chance of someone coming to life if you use a defibrillator. And I'm here to tell you today, we need to learn to defibrillate ourselves in the Spirit, amen? When you're dead in the Spirit, when you are backslidden and lukewarm and carnal and fleshly and worldly and you feel like you've gone too far, you need to defibrillate yourself. Come alive in the Spirit by prayer, by the Word of God, by worship, by not looking, like Carol said, don't look at the temporal things. Don't look at the things of the world. Look to the one who can save you, amen? The one who can resurrect you. He's an ever-present help in time of trouble. And all it takes is Jesus to come and defibrillate you and grab you, and you'll come alive in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo! Come on. And you're buried. We need a revival, don't we? Amen. I want to challenge you today. Can you hear what God is saying? Will you open your eyes to what God is doing? Will you be called by the name that God calls you? And will you hold the hand of our Savior Jesus? You know, we need to know what God says about us. The more you study God's Word, the more you learn what He says about you, not what other people say about you. We have to get a fresh revelation of who we are in Christ. I heard from Ken Legg recently on Vision Radio, he said, guilt and shame are the two most powerful negative emotions that can cripple you. They can render you ineffective. The devil is constantly whispering in your ear, you're no good, you're a failure. But we need to say, I am no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. We need to get a revelation of who we are in God, and that's a key to being revived in the Spirit. And then we need to make a declaration. I'm a big believer that every day we need to declare and speak out what God has called us to do. Bobby Shuler from The Hour of Power, I often watch him on a Sunday morning up early. He says this, he says, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I have. I'm not what people say about me. I am the beloved of God. It's who I am. No one can take it from me. I don't have to worry. I don't have to hurry. I can trust my friend Jesus and share his love with the world. That's the good news of the gospel, isn't it? We can trust our friend Jesus. And when we get a revelation of who we are in Christ, it changes who we are. Let's look to the screens. Here's a famous story about how to change the world. When I was a young man, I wanted to change the world. I found it was difficult to change the world, so I tried to change my nation. When I found I couldn't change the nation, I began to focus on my town. I couldn't change the town. And as an older man, I tried to change my family. Now as an old man, I realized the only thing I can change is myself. And suddenly I realized that if long ago I changed myself, I would have made an impact on my family. My family and I could have made an impact on our town. Their impact could have changed the nation, and I could indeed have changed the world. We need to defibrillate ourselves. We need to revive ourselves. We need to change ourselves, and then it'll have an impact on our family, our nation, and the world. So a few quick keys to reviving yourself. Number one, prioritize God's Word every day. At the start of every year, I challenge everyone at New Hope to follow our Bible reading plan. If you go to our New Hope website, you'll see it in the bulletin as well. We have an annual reading plan where you can read through the Old Testament once and the New Testament twice. Carol and I both start our day reading through those passages every day, and we pray and we seek the Lord and we write down what God says to us and we feed ourselves on God's Word. You can't rely on preaching to feed you for the whole week. You've got to feed yourself every day. Everyone say, feed yourself. And don't just read it and get it done. Study it. Ask God to give you revelation. It's like Carol made this beautiful steak recently and she marinated it. And I'll have this beautiful spice. You've got to marinate it, God's Word every day. Amen? Don't just throw it on and go, oh, it'll do. Marinate it. Prepare it. Give it time. So important that we ask God to give us revelation. You know, you won't understand God's Word without the Holy Spirit giving a revelation from it. So pray and ask God to speak to you and give you wisdom and ask, how does it apply to me? It's like looking in a mirror every day. God, what do I need to change? Oh, I need to shave that bit, or oh, I need to clean that. Or, you know, you look at the Word like a mirror and ask yourself, what do I need to change because of what I read today? Let God speak to you through His Word. Joshua 1:8. It says, meditate on this book of the Lord day and night. Don't let its words depart from your mouth. Be careful to do everything that's written in it. Then I'll make you prosperous and successful at everything you put your hand to. Who wants to be prosperous and successful? Meditate on God's word every day. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture, everyone say all. All scripture is God-breathed. It's useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. So the man or woman of God will be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Every day, we've got to let the Lord speak to us through his word for correcting, rebuking, training. And this week, we're asking everyone to sign up to the Treasury Project as well. Now, this is something that Vision Radio is doing, where every week on Vision Radio, there's a new Bible verse, which is a memory verse. And if you go to the website, vision.org.au, you can sign up. Who's signed up for that already? I know a bunch of people have, yep. And every week, you'll get a different memory verse. This week, it's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's a great way to start, isn't it, eh? Next week, I think it's John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And I think that's where it ends. John 1:1. And every week, there'll be a different memory verse. Imagine if hundreds of thousands of Christians across Australia memorized a different verse each week, and then we started to use it in our conversation. Put them up around our house. Put them on our social media. Share with, you know. I can't tell you the number of times that I've been preaching or sharing my faith with someone or praying for someone, and the Holy Spirit will give me a scripture that applies for that situation. It's through memorization. I encourage you to memorize God's word. Sign up for that Treasury Project if you can and memorize God's word. And also, we're asking people to sign up to the Acts Bible School. If you want to go to the next level in your Christian walk, Acts, AXX, it's a Bible school that we partner with. We've got about 12 or 13 people in the church that have signed up already. And it's like $9.99 a month. And at the Acts Bible School, you can watch as many or as little Bible lectures as you want. Carol's done a certificate and got a certificate recently. We should have presented that to in front of the church, shouldn't we? That was made a big deal of that. Anyway, but you know what? My wife is loving the Acts Bible School, and we've got a little group that's getting together regularly to train ourselves to rightly divide the Word of God, to teach and equip ourselves in God's Word. If you want to talk to us about that, that's the next level for getting into God's Word. Romans 15:4 says, for whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Who needs hope? Every day when we feed ourselves on God's Word, we are given new hope. A.B. Simpson, the preacher, tells the story that there was a farmer that had the greenest field and his trees were flourishing when all of the other farms around him were in drought and were dying. And he asked that farmer, why is your field flourishing when all the others are dead? And he said, when I planted my crops, I dug down real deep and I planted real deep and then I didn't water them regularly so that the roots would go down real deep so that when bad weather came, when the drought came, they would be down deep enough that they could withstand the drought and the conditions. All the other farms around, they watered theirs way too much. And then when it came to the drought, their plants all died and withered because they weren't conditioned for the weather conditions that were coming. The same thing when we read God's word, we put our roots down deep so that whether we're in a drought or a storm or in bad weathered conditions, we can stand firm, amen? It's like the scripture that Jesus told about the parable of the wise men who built his house upon the rock. He heard the words of Jesus and he put them into practice. And when the storm came, his house stood firm. But the foolish man built his house on the sand. And when the storm came, what happened? It washed away. We all know the song. The foolish man built his house. Yeah. I'm here to warn you today, storms will come. Many, many storms in these last days will come. Battles will come. Droughts will come. Fires will come. Natural disasters in the physical will come and spiritual attacks will come. And if you have got your roots down deep in God's word, no matter what comes your way, you'll flourish. Amen. I want to see a church that flourishes. A lot of people say, what's the secret to New Hope's success? Why has this church been so healthy and been so loving and being so much fruit over the years? It's because we stand on the word of God. And we challenge everyone in the church, feed yourself on God's word every day. All the research shows if you read God's word every day, you'll grow in your faith. If you don't, you will not grow in your faith. Out of 7 days a week, they say, if you're reading God's word at least 5 days a week, you will grow. If you read the word of God less than 5 days a week, you will not grow. All the research tells us this. And that's the best gift I can give you as your pastor. I want to challenge you to feed yourself on God's word every day. Get together with one another. Share God's word among ourselves. Psalm 119, longest psalm in the Bible, says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Job 23, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I've treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food. You've got to be more hungry for God's word than food. Amen. Who likes three good meals a day? How many spiritual meals a day do you have? Feed yourself on God's word. Put your roots down deep. So that's number one. Prioritize God's word if you want to revive yourself. Number two, have vision and give your all to its fulfillment. Habakkuk 2 verse 2 says, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so that he may run who reads it. Still, for the vision waits for its appointed time. It hastens to the end and will not delay. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it, and surely it will come. It will not delay. I believe in the principle of having vision. Every one of us, God's got a calling and a destiny. And one of my prayers I regularly pray is, Lord, help me live a life worthy of the calling you placed on my life. Are you living a life worthy of the calling that is placed in your life? Are you burying your talents and hiding them and living selfishly? Or are you investing your talents to get a return on them so that you can bear much fruit for God? That's what the parable of talents is about. To whom much is given, much is required. What have you been given? What's in your hand? What's God blessed you with? Write down your vision. For New Hope, our vision this year, we can see 80% of our church will be empowered to use their gifts and talents in such a way they're actively building into the life of the church. So I want to challenge you. I've already had a few people come to me in the last week. If you're not serving on a team somewhere, serve somewhere. Start somewhere doing something. Start using your gifts for God. And if it's not the right ministry, the Lord will move you to the right ministry, but you've got to start somewhere, amen? Part of our other goals for this year is we want to have 3 mission trips somewhere around this nation that way we can bring revival to a city. Who wants to travel this nation and share the gospel, amen? We haven't decided when or where or what yet, but we're seeking the Lord, amen? One of our other missions is to have 20 Bible students sign up this year. We're up to about 12, so we need 8 of you today. Should we do an altar call now? Anyway, have a think about it. One of our other missions is for 250 individuals cared for through New Hope Care. Now, we estimate, 100, 150-ish are regularly cared for who are part of the regular part of New Hope Care. We want to double that, 250-ish. We want to see 80% of people serving, and we want to see 75 new converts come to Christ who are established and discipled in this church. We want to see the church grow that much in the next 12 months. That's my vision that I felt the Lord spoke to me. I sat with the elders and the leaders. We prayed about this. We felt God speak to this. And we believe this is where God is calling us to focus on this year. Just a few simple goals. Now, if we don't get there, at least we had a crack. Amen? It's ultimately God's church. Jesus said he will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. But we've got to have a crack. Amen? We're going to do our bit. We've got to sow our seed. If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. Amen. We've got to keep sowing those seeds and believe for God to multiply the work of our hands. Amen. So what's your vision? What's your dream? What's your goals for this year? A lot of people say New Year's resolutions are a waste of time because they're all about losing weight or getting fit or, getting a new job or whatever, relationship goals, whatever they are. A lot of people say it's rubbish, but I believe write down, ask God what your vision is, write it down, and then give your all to its fulfillment. It's a key to being personally revived. Have a listen to some of these stats. 80% of successful people are focused on accomplishing one single goal. Only 12% of unsuccessful people do this. 76% of wealthy people exercise aerobically 4 days a week. Only 23% of the poor do this. 81% of wealthy maintained a to-do list. Only 19% of the poor do this. 63% of wealthy parents make their children read two or more non-fiction books a month versus 3% of the poor. 70% of wealthy parents make their children volunteer 10 hours or more a month versus 3% of the poor. 67% of the wealthy write down their goals versus 17% of the poor. 88% of successful people read 30 minutes or more each day for education or career reasons versus 2% of the poor. Now that shows a massive gap in between the wealthy and the poor. And I believe the key is being intentional. Being intentional with your visions, your goals, being intentional with the way you raise your kids, being intentional with your health and your body. I've just got to make a confession, everyone. I lost 21 kilos last year, praise God. But then I found 6 kilos so far this year, since Christmas. And I've just lost another 2 in the last few days. Thank you, Jesus. I'm like up and down. There's so much food around at Christmas and New Year's, isn't there? Too many parties at the Prater's house lately. Anyway, but you know what? One of the keys to being successful in your vision is the D word, discipline. A lot of Christians don't like that word, but it's important. The other D word is daily. Daily, every day, read God's word. Every day, exercise. Every day, say no to sugar and junk food in Jesus' name. Every day. Every day. And if you failed the day before, every day is a new day, amen? Pastor Wayne Cadero calls it a mulligan in the US when they play golf. If you tee off and you accidentally, you know, hit the ball and it doesn't go anywhere, they call it a mulligan, where you get a second chance to have another shot. How many of you know God's a God of mulligans? God's a God of second chances. Every day is a new day. Every day has new potential. If you didn't achieve your vision the day before, try to achieve it the next day. Think about 2019. What goals, what vision, what plans and dreams did you have for last year? Maybe you didn't achieve them. That's all right. It's gone. Gone. It's in the past. It's a new year. It's a new season. New opportunities. It's a mulligan. We get a second chance this year, don't we? What are your goals? What are your dreams? Write them down. Be intentional. Be focused. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law." Another version says, "Without vision, people perish." James 4:13 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we will live and do this and do that." It's fine to write down your goals and have a dream and say, "Oh, yeah, I've heard from God." But it's ultimately the Lord's will that will do it. And that's why every day you've got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Always put God first, the fulfillment of your vision. Number 3, and a lot of people will think, why is this in a message about how to revive yourself? This is a very important one. Steward the Lord's finances well. In Psalm 24:1, it says, "The earth is the Lord's, and everything in it, the world and all who live in it." I'm here to tell you, your money is actually God's money. Your house is actually God's house. Your car is actually God's car. Your clothes are actually God's clothes. Everything you own is the Lord's. And we are to be good stewards of what God has entrusted to us. And I believe if we're faithful with a little, God will bless us with more. That's the way the kingdom works. If you want to be revived in your walk with God, you've got to be born again in your wallet. Often, when people get born again, the last thing to get born again is their wallet. Billy Graham said, if you want to see what someone's worship life is like and who they worship, check their bank account. Billy Graham said, if a person gets his attitude towards money straight, it will help straighten out almost every other area of their life. And some of you are squirming in your seat, uncomfortable I'm talking about money, because preachers are renowned for asking for money and televangelists are renowned for asking for money. We've always been very intentional in our church not to make it a big focus. We'll collect love offerings. We'll collect tithes and offerings. We'll encourage people to give online. And we just trust the Lord to provide. Amen? For 17 years, the Lord has blessed this church and looked after us. But I heard a preacher once say that, you know, before you're a Christian, whenever someone talks about the Bible or God, you're often a bit uncomfortable and squirmish about it. But then when you become a Christian, you love talking about God. You love worship music. You love the Bible. You love sharing your faith, you know? You know, that new Christian zeal you get. I believe we need to have that same revelation when it comes to finances. Some of you here today, when I'm talking about money, you're like, oh, he's talking about that subject again. I don't like that. Oh, it's not, I'm not doing it right. Oh, he's telling me I've got to do, oh, he's being legalistic. Oh, he's being old covenant. Oh, you know, people are squirming their seats. I'm here to tell you today, get born again when it comes to finances. It'll free you up. When you realize your money isn't your money, it's actually God's money, it takes the pressure off. You don't worry about it anymore. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. His arm is not too short that he can't bless us, amen? He provides for us. When you get a revelation of that, it just frees you up. Who wants to be free? Stop worrying about it. Give it to God. You know, I met a guy once who was the happiest guy I'd ever met. I said, what's the secret? And he said, what I did is I put an ad in the paper, wanted someone to worry for me. I said, really? He goes, yeah, I met with this guy. And this guy answered the ad, and I met with him. And I said, what are you doing? He said, every day I tell him all my worries, and then I don't worry anymore. I said, that's fantastic. What do you do? Do you pay him? He said, yeah. I said, how much do you pay him? He said, I pay him $1,000 a day to worry for me. I said, that's fantastic. How do you afford that? He said, that's for him to worry about. That's the good news of the gospel. When you come to Jesus, you cast all your anxieties, all your worries onto him. All your financial stuff, you just give it to God. You just sow, you tithe, you honor God with your first fruits, and he looks after it. Amen? Proverbs 3, verse 9. Honor the Lord. Everyone say, honor the Lord. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Number 4, to be revived. Make peace in all of your relationships. This is so critical. I've had to deal with this a lot personally in the last couple of months myself. And I'm preaching to myself here. Make peace in all your relationships. Matthew 5:23. Therefore, if you're offering a gift at the altar, and therefore remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. You know, unforgiveness can be a blockage to hearing the voice of God. Unforgiveness can be a blockage to receiving healing. Unforgiveness can be a blockage to getting your prayers answered. And if you have any unforgiveness in your heart, you need to deal with it. It's a key to being revived. Sometimes you have to go to the person directly, like it says here, and deal with it face to face. Sometimes it might be someone who's already died and you can't go to them face to face. It might be someone that abused you. It might be someone that was violent towards you. Might be someone that ripped you off. Whatever the circumstances. C.S. Lewis put it like this. I can forgive the inexcusable in others because Christ forgave the inexcusable in me. Jesus said, forgive as the Lord has forgiven you. You've been forgiven of your sins. What right do you have to have unforgiveness towards other people? Deal with it. What God reveals, he heals. Let's just pray for a moment on that right now. Let's just close our eyes and bow our heads. Father, I just pray for every person hearing my voice right now. Anybody that's got unforgiveness in their heart. Anybody that's got bitterness and wants revenge. I just break that lie off in the name of Jesus. And I pray for unforgiveness to fill people's hearts right now. Let your love come. Just put out your hands to God. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us with your love. Help us be good forgivers. Help us show mercy and grace and love to others. Lord, with the grace that we've received from you, that you've forgiven us, help us have that grace to forgive others. Empower us to be good forgivers. Holy Spirit, do that heart surgery in us right now, we pray. Just with every eye closed, if there's people that you have unforgiveness towards right now, I just believe the Lord's going to reveal them to you. I just wanted to say I forgive them. Just picture them and say, I forgive you in the name of Jesus. It's got to start in your heart. I forgive you. Just release that forgiveness over this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. All right, you can open your eyes now, guys. I actually felt the Lord this morning say to me, I needed to pray that prayer over everyone corporately. And when we finish the service shortly, I'm happy to pray for you individually. And if you need to go to that person, like this scripture says, Nike, just do it, okay? Go to that person. Might be some people doing it here today, you never know. Might be someone in your family, might be someone at your workplace, might be someone you need to email or ring or whatever, but deal with it, amen? Because if you've got unforgiveness, it'll be a blockage and it's a foothold for the devil. The Bible says, do not let your sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil a foothold. Deal with it, amen? So important that we deal with this stuff. If you want to be revived, be a good forgiver. They say a successful marriage is two good forgivers. You could say a successful relationship is two good forgivers. Be a forgiver in all your relationships. And number five, return to your first love. Live like Jesus is your Lord and revive yourself. Return to your first love. In Revelation 2 verse 4, it says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. That word repent means to have a change of thinking, a paradigm shift. Change your thinking. Repent and do the things you did at first. Return to your first love. You know, my wife and I, when we first started dating, I'd always get her flowers, write poems, send text messages. I'd woo her. Beautiful poetry. Alan, I was a romantic, like you wouldn't believe. Oh, so smooth, you know. Chasing after her, like you wouldn't believe. I even watched Better Homes and Gardens with her. And she was convinced that I enjoyed it. And then after we were married, I just wanted to watch the Broncos game instead of Better Homes and Gardens. And she realised that I was a fake and a phony and putting it on. Everyone's like, oh, that's a bit awkward. But I've confessed that regularly and asked for forgiveness for that regularly. But you know what? After 15, 16 years of being together now, you know, we've got to remember that love we had at first. We need to watch Better Homes and Gardens together is what I'm saying. But you know what? Kids come along, bills, being a pastor, you know, all this stuff happens that stresses you out and you can grow apart, can't you? You can get dry in your relationship. And so you've got to go on date nights. You've got to love, you've got to send messages to each other. You've got to ring each other. You've got to get rid of the kids and go away for a weekend. Hallelujah, thank you. You've got to do stuff to come back to your first love, don't you? Carol and I are constantly trying to remember to do that in our relationship. We don't do it as much as we should. But we need to come back to our first love in our marriage relationship. And the same thing with our Father in heaven. Remember the love you had when you first came to Christ? Remember that new Christian zeal? That's why our love, our church, has always got new Christians in it. We've always got people that have just come to know Jesus. And I love hanging around them because they're on fire. They're hungry. They're like a sponge. They receive it. I had one guy last week. It was his first time at church. He goes, mate, I love that message. Oh, I loved it. He said this, this and that. Someone else said to me this morning, oh, that was so good. You know, because they're like sponges. They're ready to receive. They love Jesus. They're hungry for God. Don't lose that new Christian zeal. There's a warning in the book of Revelation. I hold this against you. You've forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you've fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. Can you hear what Jesus is saying? Open your eyes to what God is doing in this place. What's your name? Are you a child of God?